Welcome to Subscriptions for Authors.
Meet your co-hosts,
Michael Evans, sci-fi thriller author of a dozen novels, and Amelia Rose, a semi-romance author that makes six figures per year in subscriptions. Together, we will help you make more money with subscriptions and succeed in the future of publishing.
All right, so this is the Rising Stars in Subscriptions podcast. Now, I'll admit, we were very bad about editing this one. We should have come out with this about half a year ago, but it just got into the backlog, and we're finally catching up on it now, which means that you're getting three amazing stories from three incredible authors who launched their subscriptions to success within the last year, and you'll get to learn from them. Each interview is about 15 minutes. I ask about 3 to 5 questions, and I just want to thank these authors for their time. I think you're going to love, love, love these interviews. You're going to love, love learning about these authors, and it's super inspiring just to see like what's possible when you launch a subscription and seeing how it can impact your author career, what it does for your readers. And this episode will show you how they did it. So hopefully you can learn and be able to take a step forward in how you're doing it as well. And of course, if you want more insights on how to start and grow your subscription, check out the Subscriptions for Authors book. It'll be linked down below. It's totally free, at least the ebook and the audiobook. And I hope you enjoy reading it. And I hope you are able to learn something that can help you launch and be able to make money from subscriptions as an author. That said, let's get into this Rising Stars interview. If you guys like this kind of format, let me know, because we can definitely do more like group interviews or spaces where we do like shorter bite-sized interviews, but like in a theme or format. Like maybe we interview 3 or 4 science fiction authors and get different perspectives on how science fiction authors are succeeding in subscriptions in, you know, an hour. So let me know if that's interesting to you, if you like this format. But let's get into this first interview. It should be a lot of fun.
Alex,
hi.
I'm so excited to chat with you today as part of the Rising Stars and Subscription series. And I want to first, before we dive into your subscription, learn a little bit about you,
hi,
your author career up to this point, and what got you to start a subscription when you did.
Okay. Hi, thank you for having me. I am A.R. Rose. I write contemporary romance that is steamy. I am toggling a little over into the fantasy romance genre and a little bit into darker romance. Currently have 3 books published that are my own. I have a co-write published, and I have another release coming out in July, and I have been an author for just under a year.
That's so exciting.
Just dove in headfirst.
One thing you mentioned in your author bio is that you started in 2020 when the pandemic hit, but then stopped.
Yes.
And then started again.
Yes.
What inspired you finally like getting back into it, and what made you stop?
So when I started writing in 2020, I was actually inspired by a movie on Netflix, and something just triggered my brain. And so I got some words out. I got to about 14,000 words or so. And then I was like, I'm not good at this. This is like bananas. I'm not doing it. And I just stopped. I had zero confidence. I didn't know what I was doing. And honestly, at that point, I wasn't a huge reader. So to even like dip my toe into writing was like, what am I doing? So I stopped, even though I had my best friend was like, no, keep going. It's good. And I'm like, you're my best friend. You have to say that. This is trash. So I stopped. But then earlier last year, I slid into the DMs of one of my favorite authors and basically forced her friendship. And I was like, I want to help you with your social media, because that's where my background is. I used to own a women's boutique, and I've been on social media for a long time. I had a pretty successful mom blog before the boutique. So I felt like very confident with Facebook and Instagram and all that. So I forced her hand and I was like, you're going to be my new bestie. And she was like, okay, that's fine. And we became friends. And then something with talking to her all the time and her being an author and like me always being very inspired by her triggered that same thing in my brain again. And a scene popped into my head while I was cooking dinner. And I remember just having to stop and write it out. And then I told her, I was like, being friends with you is doing things to my head. This is what just happened. And she was like, let me read it. And then I went into panic mode. I was like, one of my favorite authors cannot read this trash that I just wrote. But I sent it to her and she was like, that's amazing. You need to keep going. And so I did, because what better validation than to have one of your favorite authors tell you to keep going? And said favorite author and I just released our first co-write together. So that was pretty cool.
Wow. That yeah. is inspiring. I'm so glad that you, one, slid into the DMs of one of your favorite authors.
You have to. I shoot your shot.
Yeah. And then you shoot the shot with your story. The biggest and best thing of all, right now, like at the time of speaking, the book hasn't been out but a year, well over 100 reviews. That's pretty tremendous for, especially like your first series ever already doing that well.
Thank you. It's been crazy.
Yeah, no, definitely. And speaking of like having the sort of ask to start to shoot your shot, you started your subscription. And what was a recent thing for you? Tell me why you started it when you did and a little bit about your subscription.
So I had been thinking about doing a subscription for a while. I just really waited because I was not sure if I would have the content for it, because I clearly am a quick writer. I have almost 5 books published in under a year, and almost the 5th one comes out in July. But I was like, because of my writing pace, will I have time to do a subscription-based platform? That seems like an extra commitment that I just wasn't ready for. But honestly, with the way that Kindle Unlimited is going right now and how crazy the marketplace is as a whole, I just felt that it was a good move strategically. Even if it doesn't blossom into anything huge, it will still help me foster the community feel and get more loyal readers who are interested in more than just being a reader, being on a platform, that the people who want to actually interact with me and have that kind of relationship, dare I say friendship. I just dove in head first. I will be completely transparent, and I weighed my pros and cons when it comes to Patreon and Ream. Ultimately decided on Ream because I really liked your guys' platform as a whole, how it's for authors and readers, made by authors and readers. That was a really huge tipping point for me. And it was impulsive. I was like, should I do this? And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. And I set everything up and I was launched in 45 minutes.
That's I love
my very impulsive.
Yeah, no, that's, it shows that you don't need to like spend hours and hours trying to craft the perfect subscription. You just got it out there. And then when you actually launched it, how did it go?
It was scary. It was really scary because I was like, no one's going to do this. No one's going to pay for this. But within the first 24 hours, I had, I think, 3 subscribers or maybe 4 subscribers, if memory serves. And then today, which is about a week and a half later-ish, week and a half-ish, I'm at 6. So we are chugging along, and I'm very proud of those 6 subscribers. It's exciting.
Yeah. And where did they come from? Meaning, was this something when you actually marked your subscription? Was it like newsletter list? I know you have a pretty big, your Facebook group, 1,000 plus readers.
It is, yes.
Where they came from?
So I think that, I don't know. I know 2 of them are personally on my team. So I have a promotional team, and I know 2 of those girls came from there because they are very involved and they always do want more. And they're just very supportive. And even though I told them, you guys don't have to, they still signed up. So that was great. The other 4, they could have come from Facebook. They could have come from my newsletter. I'm not 100% certain. I would guess my Facebook group, though, because I use that lovely at everyone tag.
Yeah. Sometimes I can annoy people, but it can work. It can work.
I'm very hesitant to use it, but I was like, we're doing it. If I'm going to just impulsively dive in, I got to
get everyone all.
Yeah.
And I do have to ask you, because I know you're just the beginning of it, but in terms of the time spending the subscriptions, you mentioned like it didn't take you that long to launch it. But in terms of the content that you're producing for your subscription, walk me through what your tiers are and what you're offering in those tiers. And I guess how long you think it'll take you to actually do those things.
Okay. I don't remember. I don't remember what the tiers are. I know that the smallest one is $3 a month. And that is just for like basically more of an elevated community type feel. Those people in that will have the opportunity to get their hand in the cookie jar if I need help with things. For example, sometimes my brain doesn't want to braid. And I'm like, I can't think of a last name to save my life. Who would like their last name in this book? So rather than always going to my team of promotional helpers that I have, I can put that in that tier and say, who wants to help me with this, or who has an idea for a name? Or I've used readers to name like buildings and stuff in my books. And so just like little things like that, where they can feel like they're a part of the story and a part of more. Updates probably will hit the Ream first before they hit the Facebook group or email or whatnot. For example, I don't know when this is going to air, so you guys might all get this first, but for my 1-year authorversary, I am putting out hardcover books of the first 3 books in my series that will be finishing up in July. Very few people know that yet, but the Ream subscribers will hear about that first, and then it'll go out to the rest of the platforms. The second tier is all of that stuff, plus whatever else I said they were getting. And then they'll also get first looks at the new books, any short stories that I write, they will get that kind of thing. Let's say first chapter or a prologue or whatever it might be. That tier is $5. And then the biggest tier, which is the $10 tier, they get everything. So if I am going to post a full short story, they'll get access to that. If I'm going to post a novella, they'll get access to that. They have access right now to the first two chapters of the book that's releasing in July, whereas the tier, the $5 tier below them, only sees the first chapter. So just like elevating things, and I'm honestly winging it. I have no idea. I'm going to throw things at them as I feel like it and just see what happens.
I actually think that's amazing, because most people go into it with such a set plan and spend so much time making that plan. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how you need to go into it. That you do you ultimately, what makes you feel comfortable. But knowing that you are comfortable with this, it's actually a strength in a subscription, because you get to figure it out together. And as it grows, you get to make the benefits make sense. And I'm curious, for you right now, you're still a week and a half in, but it's a tough question to ask. And I want you to give an honest answer.
Okay.
Has it been worth it for you? Especially because, like you said, you have to put a lot of time into releasing all the books you have, trying to get discovery in KU, which is a great thing. So has the subscription been, early review, more of a distraction, or has it, you think, been a good thing? And you do not have to try and please me. Subscriptions for authors. No.
I think it's been a good thing. I haven't really done too much with it. I'm trying not to overwhelm those subscribers too and give them too many emails showing up in their inbox. So I think the first 24 hours or 48 hours, I posted like three times or so, first welcoming and explaining. And then another post was like explaining the names of the tiers, because rather than just giving them a really normal name, I named them something from my books. The first one is called The Platonic Placeholders, and that's something from my first book. The second one is called The Grilled Cheese Wizards, and that's from the third book I published. And I don't think I can say the name of the third tier on here. I'm not sure, so I won't. But that's something from this upcoming book. I named them unique names, so I felt it necessary to explain why or remind them as to why they were named that. But it really hasn't been that much more. We all take time to post on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We're already doing it. For me, throwing Ream in there was just another platform to post on, but also something to favor in a way and cultivate and get excited about. So I think it's great so far. We're only a week and a half in, but I'm very happy so far.
I'm glad to hear that. We're very excited to follow you in your journey. And speaking of, if you want to see the hidden tier name, your description, Alex's description, will be linked in the description so you can check it out there. But for those who are looking to start their own subscriptions and have their own tiers and their own members, like you have, what would be your advice to them from what you've learned so far?
Not to take the words out of Nike, but just do it. Like, do it. So what's holding you back? You just have to fill out a couple little things and just get it going. Might as well.
I love it. That is such great advice. And this has been an inspiring story. Thank you
so much,
Alex, for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So this next interview is going to be with Nick Slater. And they are an awesome author who actually recently paused their subscription / moved away from subscriptions. So what's funny is back when we recorded this, their subscription was going great and they were at the beginning of growing, but decided with writing schedule, life issues, that just things come up and they wanted to deprioritize their subscription a bit. So they're not currently actively running their subscription, but this was their thoughts on how they got started and how they originally found success. And what's great about a subscription is that you really can move in and out of it whenever it works for you. So it's not something you have to stick with forever. And it's something that some writers find is great for a year or two, and they have to move on because they have to prioritize other things, other areas of their career. And Nick's a good example of how to handle that. So with that said, we're going to dive back to Nick from the past and learn about how they got started.
Nikolai, it is awesome to have you with us in this subscriptions rising star series. And before we talk about your subscription and all the awesome things you've accomplished, I first want to just ask you generally about your author career, what you write, and how long you've been doing it, and what brought you
to where you are at today?
So I've been writing since I was 5. I wrote my first fan fiction when I was 6 about around the world in 80 days. It's a terrible story, but I've been writing ever since. I was going to go to school for creative writing, but I ended up going for chemistry instead. And so I work full time as a chemist and I write basically full time on the side. I usually write dark romance, usually poly romance, TVQ types of stories, found family. But I really picked up most of my writing during high school and college. And now basically when I go home, that's all I do.
That's very relatable. I like how you said basically like a full-time job, and it's not my actual full-time job. That's very relatable. And for you up to this point, before your subscription, where are you publishing? Were you on retailers, serial fiction platforms? Share this a little bit about when you put your work out into the world, where did it go?
So I started on like Wattpad, but I've moved into publishing mostly on Inkit. And I have now 3 books out on Amazon.
Nice.
And another one coming out in September and October.
That's so exciting. That's awesome. And through that whole journey, starting a subscription has been one of the latest things you've been doing. What inspired you to start?
Mostly just based on the sheer volume that I write. I saw a opportunity to provide people either with early access or specialized stories or insight to all of my drafts, because I have so much and a lot of my readers enjoy that aspect of it as well. So I thought I would open a subscription for it.
Early access. It's a great model. It's an awesome model. And with that, when did you exactly start it? Where is it gone? And also, where did you start it? Because I feel like there's multiple answers to the where question.
So I started on May 15th and I started on Ream. Inkit recently opened one maybe about a month ago. Since most of my readers were there, it's easier for them to move to the Inkit subscription, and then completely new people, I direct them to Ream.
That's awesome. I love that strategy. It makes a lot of sense. How has it gone for you so far? You're now, at the time of recording, about 2 months in. So has it taken a lot of time to manage? What has the experience been like for you up to this point?
It hasn't been too hard because it's just posting double on 2 different sites. It has been like pulling teeth for people who have been getting free content for so long. But a few people on the Inkit side have upgraded just for the early access. And I'm learning how to navigate being how to promote it so that people want to move over rather than I just have stuff.
Yeah, that's actually the tricky part of it. But you have paid subscribers. So I'm curious, what has worked for you in that so far in terms of bringing people over? Do you have a sense of what has so far worked in that regard?
Offering things that I don't usually do free. One thing that I started doing is for any of my series, the only free book is going to be the first one. So if they want anything else, they have to subscribe to a tier or they have to wait till it goes on Amazon to get the full series.
I like that. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm curious for you how the discovery has gone for that burst in series. What has worked for you to start to gain traction, to get readers on serial fiction platforms? Because that's always, with someone who's writing on serial fiction platforms, that's always the next question. Like getting a reader to be a subscriber, paid subscriber, is difficult, but sometimes just getting that reader at all is difficult. So what have you found works for you in terms of gaining discovery for your serial fiction?
Well, 2 things. One, constantly uploading, whether it's the same story, multiple stories, I guess 3 things. The second thing is interacting with all of your readers, whether it's just posts on your wall, here's what's coming, polls. And then the third thing that I found is not following the crowd. So if there's monster romance out there or dark romance or whatever, that's great. But if it's just another dark romance story, nobody cares. So I was put twists or something very weird or maybe a strange cover out there so that it catches their attention in a different way that's different from everything else.
I like that. That's good advice, especially because I feel like when what you're specifically doing or your specific slant might not be the hot thing right now, there's always that sort of guilt where you're like, is what I'm writing like a good enough idea? Is this really what readers want? But putting your own slant on it and knowing that can work is inspiring. Now, I am curious from a expectation standpoint, if you have 100 readers on Inkit on a serial fiction platform, what has been the sort of conversion rate or upgrade rate for you, roughly speaking? Because I know a lot of authors, it's like, if I get one follower, should I expect like half of them to become paid readers? Should I expect 10%? Should I expect 1%? I know it's still early for you, but it's nice to just share an expectation with people so other people know roughly what to expect. So for you, has it been most or more of a small percentage? Where's that been at for you?
It's been a very small percentage, and I attribute it to the fact that they have gotten free content for so long. I've been on Inkit for almost 2 years, a little over 2 years. So they've gotten free content for so long. There's so many authors who also offer free content. So me going, hey, upgrade and pay for stuff, they're like, I don't need to. I can just wait.
That's I totally understand that. I'm glad that you've had some people come to pay, which is huge. And that's like a great start. Everyone has to start somewhere. But I wonder for you, did you start your subscription and start this new release strategy? Did you start it like in the middle of a series or right when you began the series?
I started with all new content. So anything that was currently on Inkit and going, that will stay free. I wasn't going to make anything paid. But everything from May 15th on would start on my subscription tiers, and then eventually either move free or some of them are exclusives.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. That's, I think it just takes some time because you're in a way like migrating readers and slowly getting them to, they already valued your work because they were spending the time to read it, which is the biggest thing, but value it in a slightly different way where they're also willing to pay for it, which is, it takes time, which now looking back, because you've obviously been learning about subscriptions and setting up subscription for months, and you've had it live now for over 60 days. What is something that you've learned or something that maybe if you could look back, you would do differently, or just some advice that you'd give to fellow authors at this point in your journey?
I guess there's two things. One, I think I would have marketed it differently to almost people who don't know me, who haven't been getting free content from me, so they could get a taste of whatever I'm offering free and then move to a subscription. And then the second thing is that even if there's not immediate subscribers, they support you in other ways, whether it's they promote you on their site or they'll buy your book. And a $15 book is more valuable than that $5 subscription because it takes 3 months to get there at the same price. And so they've supported me in different ways. I have some people who will buy my books versus they will subscribe. So
it all works out in the end in that respect. Subscription is like one way that someone could support you and be involved. For you, the retailer strategy, has that been something that you've also seen sales there as well? Is that something that's been going well for you? Or
It's not too bad. We don't make a whole lot in all of the books, but people seem more inclined to buy a book sometimes than to subscribe to a tier where you get serial fiction.
Yeah. It's in some cases just different reader or even a different time. Like someone might be willing to buy your book 1 month and then in 6 months, they're ready to be a paid subscribers of yours. Makes a lot of sense. This was awesome. And one last question, just as a bonus, is do you want to share with us your tiers and what you're offering in them?
Oh, they're complicated. But I can. Let me just hold them up because I don't hold them off the top of my head.
No, you're all good. And we'll make sure to link Nikolai's subscription, their tiers, in the description. So you can find that somewhere there. You can get the link and look at it yourself. But I always like hearing what people have in their tiers. I think it's very inspiring for other people to hear just what's possible.
Yeah. So I looked at a lot of other people's tiers before I made mine. I know I write like I'm on crack. So I have a lot. But my first tier, it's like early access and they get cover reveals And then my second tier, which is Twisted Ink. I have like short novelettes that are like Twisted and Taboos. And then exclusive access to horror and psychotic shorts. And then I have the next tier, which is Sultry Shadows. And then there's early access to Twisted Contemporary titles. And then there's a series called Unsettled, and they're just really strange, erotic situations. And then I have my finalized and edited versions of contemporary titles that are going to Amazon that are on that one. And then they also get a free ebook once I publish it for the first installment. And then I have the next tier, which is Mystical Seduction. And they get Twisted Fairy Tales for this one, dark fantasy novellas, exclusive access to a contemporary poly romance series, and then access to a special fantasy series. There's four different ones that are coming up, and then sneak peeks for projects that are completely exclusive to the higher tier and Sinister Secrets. And then that one has sapphic and Emma fantasy novellas. There's a monster erotica series. There is a mafia series. And then the secret project, all the drafts, creative process, everything that goes into that. And then they also get the free books in that tier, as well as a discount on paperbacks. And then my last tier, which is Deviant Infatuation, they get personalized holiday, anniversary, happy birthday cards written in the voice of a character of their choice, and then themed book boxes as well.
Wow. That is a lot. That's wow. First, yeah, I can definitely tell you're writing a lot, but also a lot of very creative ideas. And that's all great. That's great to hear. For people listening, you might be like, oh my God, Nicolai just started a subscription and she's got that much going on. All authors start at different phases. That's one thing we definitely learned in this Rising Stars series. And another thing we've learned is that no subscription is created the same. Even if we get inspiration from other authors, I feel like everyone has something super unique going on. And I'm very proud of you and what you've accomplished. I know it's just the beginning for you in many ways. And I want to thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you.
That was interview number two. Now we're headed to our last Rising Star. This was not recorded or spliced together in order, so everyone's equally amazing rising stars. But this one is with Nicole. And Nicole, her page is beautiful. She's rocked it out. And her subscription's still grown since we recorded the episode. She's got well over 100 followers now. Absolutely epic stuff. I think you'll learn a lot from Nicole. Amazing fantasy author. Your tears are so beautiful. Like, perfection. So I hope you enjoy this last one of our Rising Stars interviews.
Awesome. So I first want to ask you, first, your name / pen name, your genre, and how you got started in subscriptions.
Yeah. All right. I'm really excited. So my name is Nicole York. I am a fantasy author under the pen name Nicole McEwen. And I got started in subscriptions first by recognizing that the industry was changing really fast, and that income was incredibly variable across all platforms. And there wasn't a whole lot of security in terms of knowing what you might be bringing in so that you could plan for future investments in like new books and production costs and all that kind of stuff. So I started wondering what would be a more stable, more predictable form of income, but what would make up for some of the deficiencies that were going to exist as the market continued to change, not only to be a little bit more stacked as it has continued to be with self-publishing, but as AI continues to advance and we see more people relying on that and the speed of books coming out a lot faster. Before long, I honestly think that bigger companies like Amazon are going to put that technology into the hands of readers who will then be able to say, write me a story with such and such in it and these tropes. And they will then only not only the means of production and distribution, but also the creation of things like books. So what can we do that then removes that from the equation in terms of our competition? And the only thing I could think of was me And I've been an artist for the last 15 years. I've been a photographer and a freelance writer. And photography, another job where when phones came along that had cameras in them, all of a sudden photographers became less viable. And so we had to figure out, how do you stand out? And the answer always with all forms of art, once the market starts to get saturated, is me, my voice, what I have to bring to the equation. And if somebody likes me, then they're going to be interested in what I do. And the only way to build that community in a secure place that couldn't be taken from me, like a TikTok platform or Facebook, was a subscription model. So I started looking around to try to see, how could I get into this? Who was giving out information? And I looked at Patreon. I didn't super love Patreon just because there's a lack of the actual community there. And as soon as I happened to come across Reem, where y'all were talking about the goal really being developing that community where your readers could respond to you and you could respond to them, and that access to me would be there, that's when I knew that was what I wanted to go through. So first, I think recognizing the problem, starting to search for solutions, and then coming across what really felt like it was the right answer to the problem.
Wow. That was such like inspiring, fascinating. One of the more unique answers I've heard to that, but I think a more relatable one, because the industry has changed so much in just the last couple months. And I think what you're saying holds a lot more truth to it now. And it brings me to, how did it actually go when you started your subscription? And from when we're recording to now, like, how recently did you start your subscription?
Okay, so I actually initially began on my website on Squarespace, because Squarespace does have the option to have a members area. And I thought, okay, this is a good way for me to test it out because it's already within my control. Everything is already on my website. And the barrier to entry was relatively low. It's $10 a month or something like that. And so it was easy for me to just let people who already visited my website and the current email list that I have know, hey, I'm setting this up, guys. So if you're interested, go ahead and sign up. This is what I'll be putting there for you. I'll be updating it this many times or whatever. And that was a good low level, no pressure introduction, since I already controlled all of those things. And I started experimenting with how I could get people to sign up. I think sometimes we make the mistake of looking at this process from our own perspective. What do I need from this? I need this much money. I need this many subscribers. And that really forced me to say, what do they get? What is the benefit for them? What would make signing up, even just to be a free member, which is what I started with, what would make that worthwhile? What would you have to do to make every email I send you so great that you're excited to get it? And so I was including character art and short stories and behind the scenes, and then the novels as I was writing them, and just making sure that this was the coolest place you could go to get everything you wanted about the kind of work that I did. And once I did that, I ended up actually getting somewhere around 75 people to come in and sign up and just to be on my website. And that was the initial test. Could I do it? Would people actually join? Would it be worthwhile? But unfortunately, even though you can monetize that and put a paywall up, there is no option for a community. There wasn't a way that they could comment and I could respond to them. They could send me emails, but it was very much blocked off. So even though the content is great, they can get great content anywhere for free, but they can't have access to me in that setup. So once I had experimented with that a little bit and started looking into Reem and realizing that's where I wanted to go, I let my list know that I was moving over there, and I gave them plenty of time. I let them know that we were going. And then I actually scheduled the launch of the subscription around the launch of the first book in my newest series. Cool. And I'll explain that funnel, because it did work really well. And I hope more people do this, because my ARC readers have been really excited about the process. They've messaged me, many of them individually, and said, this was the most like fun I've ever had ARC reading before. I hope other authors do this. So what I essentially did, I put out the call. I let a lot of people know. I tried to tease the book really well. I did not put up any walls between me and who I accepted. If you loved fantasy and you were willing to review, that was all I cared about. I didn't care about the size of anybody's platform. I got a whole bunch of signups. I let folks know. And then I said, if you want to come join the readers Facebook group, I will send a digital gift for you coming and being a part of everything. So the folks who did, I got close to 200 people to come into my readers group that way. I sent them all individually a sneak peek of my newest book. It was like the first 11 chapters or something like that, copying, paste and putting in. It took a really long time, but it was worth it because they knew I was invested in them as well. And then once they were there and they had been getting free things from me for a while, I said, hey, I just want to let you know, I'm really excited about building this community where I can now give you more. There's only so much time and energy I can put into the Facebook group. But over here, like, you get influence and you get input. And when you tell me you want something, I can then do that for you. And so once I let them know, folks started going. And strangely enough, the first two people who signed up for my highest tier, which was $20 a month, and then some other folks started following. And these are all now people who already arc read for me so that I know that they already liked my work. It was like putting up a velvet rope, right? And so they were able to pass that rope once they had exposure to me and enjoyed my content and being around me enough that then it made it worthwhile to go and sign up there. So that funnel seemed to be great because it was right in terms of pre-qualifying them, I guess I should say, for something like a subscription.
Yeah, no, that's, I love that because we always want to, we almost ask too soon where we hit them with the paywall and we want to ask maybe too early in the reader relationship or, hey, like, you don't even know me yet. Here's $5 a month. I would love if you could support me. And that sounds great from the author's experience, but from a reader experience, you need to build that trust and you build that trust. You put in the groundwork and building that community and then it's not, how long did that take you from start to finish? I'm curious. It's this funnel to build out. How long did it take you?
So less than a couple of months, less than 2 months. Because when I prepared for the putting out the arcs, I already knew I wanted it to be a high touch process, meaning I was going to have my hands on every part of this process. None of it was going to be automated. I was going to be as intimate with these people as possible. I tried to think about their needs first from an ARC reader's perspective. So a lot of ARC readers, when they are sharing their reviews on social media, it's, I don't want to say that it's for clout. It's not that it's for clout, but they want to keep people updated on what they're doing. And if they want more ARCs, they need to let people know, I accept ARCs. I give the reviews. Here's some examples of what I do. So if you decide to send me an ARC, you can trust me with your work. So in order for them to get that, I wanted to provide, I sent everybody a link to a Google Drive folder that had a bunch of promo images in it sized for each platform. So square things for Instagram and 16 by 9 things and whatever, each in a folder. It had character art. I even had, I had music. I actually commissioned my brother, who is a musician, to write a theme song for my book, and it's outstanding. Wow. So, and a media kit with like questions and answers in there. So if they wanted to be able to share things that they knew, I just wanted to make it as easy for them as possible to share and make their content look great. So they needed to benefit from this relationship. A lot of people think the ARC is their benefit, and it's, that's cool, but your book is going to cost $4.99 if it's a digital ARC. And that's not really enough to justify all the work that they're going to put in to reading this and giving you a thoughtful review. So I wanted it to be as beneficial for them as it was for me. And then I also had a Facebook, just a chat where my ARC readers could come and join the chat and we read the book together. So they could say, oh no, this thing just happened. And everybody else went, oh no. So the community aspect was already built into that process. And since that funnel existed already, and I know I'll be able to repeat that for future ARCs, now that it's built, I can just flip the switch and as people go through, remind them, hey, you can come and join over here. Other folks are already here. So that the building of the funnel took a little bit of effort, not too long because it's still relatively simple. But once it was there, it became a great slide in a way for everybody to just squidge in.
Oh, wow. The biggest point there that is really tough to understand when we're working typically with not just readers, but what I'll call reading creators, influencers, people who are creating content online, is that they have an audience as well, that just like we're trying to build our brand and build trust, they have to do the same thing. And not only is it about, like, first and foremost, writing a great story that they love and want to recommend, that's the key. But the other key is, yeah, if you can make that easier for them, like, they're not, unless you're paying your ARC readers, which really is not a good idea. That's really not allowed.
No, right? Don't do that.
You do have to figure out a way to make it easier for them because they're putting in work on your behalf.
Right.
That's also on their behalf too, but it has to benefit them. So by making the content, that's just not talked about enough. It's beautiful. And I'm curious for you now, seeing how your subscription's gone in a very short period of time, you're already having
number of subscribers. You're at a place that so many people listening would love to be at. What would be your advice to them? If I'm an author who's just getting started, how can I get to where you are today?
Care about people first. And that seems to be the refrain. Anytime anybody asks me about this or I try to share this process, if you approach it from a mercenary perspective, thinking of these people like slot machines that you can just put a tiny bit of effort into and get something out of them over and over, you're going to be disappointed because people don't like to be treated like tools. People want to be treated like people. And if you think about your core audience, the person you are writing this book for from the very beginning, and you remember that is a person who has wants and needs and desires and is as real as you, and you think about it that way, the whole process becomes a lot easier because you start to wonder, what are they going to get from my book? What does it deliver to them? What emotional experience are they going to have here? If they're going to engage with my book, what makes it worthwhile? If they want to come be part of this process, how can I love on them and show them I care about the fact that they're here and they have value? And my ARC readers know if they have anything, they can reach out to me. They can message me. They can do all of the stuff because I value the fact that they're here. I really do care. And if they tell me this was problematic for me, I'm going to show up and go, cool, I will do my research and find out and adjust what needs to be adjusted. Because sometimes we have a tendency of authors to think of readers as walking paychecks and not people. And you have to get that out of your mindset, especially now with these industries blowing up, they're becoming less and less personal. And so the more personal we can make this process and the more people can feel like they are here and they're valued and you care that they're here, everything else seems to fall into line like dominoes. So stop thinking about always just yourself first. Put yourself in their shoes. Ask yourself, what would make me care? What would make me want to try? What would make me show up? And then the money is just a natural result of that, because then they want to continue having that feeling over and they care about you and they want to support you and see you succeed.
It's such a great mindset. My dog, Sky, she was barking because there was a truck that came.
She's so fluffy.
Yeah, she's loving what you're saying too, because I think that the toughest thing in an industry where we publish online, we get data back, we only get page reads and sales metrics, right? In a sense, we're incentivized to think of our fans as numbers because it's how these systems work. It's how the dashboards report things to us.
Yep.
But we have to transcend that. And I think having a subscription makes it easier, but having the mindset you have is essential. This is incredible, Nicole. Thank you so much for these insights.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
All right. I hope y'all enjoyed this podcast. It was kind of like three in one, three hopefully helpful interviews about how some amazing authors got started. I'm sorry that we released this like so after the fact. We usually like to release things like pretty close to when we record them, usually within a couple weeks. But I think just the mental energy of like batching together all of this to put for production always made me be like, three episodes in one sounded super fun until editing the three episodes became a reality. And I apologize for not getting this out sooner. Appreciate y'all's understanding. We definitely still came out with a bunch of episodes, but it was wrong of me to not come out this earlier. So in the future, we'll make sure we don't do that. And that probably means not recording three podcasts in one again, because it's too stressful for me. But this was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you want more episodes from us, can't promise it'll be three interviews in one, but I can promise it'll be some awesome interviews and some awesome conversations that can help you get to the next level in your author career. Then check out our podcast. If you're on YouTube, subscribe. We'll see y'all soon. Thank you so much for listening and watching. And as always, don't forget, storytellers rule the world.